I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Nothing Concrete, the Barbican podcast here to help inspire more people to discover and love the arts. I'm Ben Eshmade, and this week we're delving into our archive, looking back to October 2017 and Different Trains 1947. This was a fascinating project which featured composer Jack Barnett from These New Puritans and producer Sand Dunes, amongst other key performers and filmmakers. Let's follow the railway tracks to the past, exploring ideas of migration, home and heritage.
Mumbai is an absolutely incredible place, just complete sensory saturation. Everything turned up to 11. You walk out the door and there's just the potential for chaos in life.
The train journeys were brutal and gruesome, and there's a whole lot of stories there to tell, basically.
On the 1st of October 2017, you could have been in the audience for Different Trains 1947, a multimedia response to the story of Indian freedom that took inspiration from minimalist composer Steve Reich's 1988 work, Different Trains.
And when composers started hearing what Steve had accomplished in Different Trains, it kind of opened up a huge palette for all sorts of possible colors, and I think that piece has had a big influence on the entire form of the string quartet. You know, in the first movement, for example, of Different Trains, that sense of a train journey, and then the kind of the impending urgency that leads into movement two, and then the sounds of the sirens, and of course the voices of the survivors of the Holocaust. I mean, the way he treated that subject and those voices and sounds, to me, is so beautifully realized.
David Harrington from Kronos Quartet talking about the impact and ambition of the work that Reich composed for them. Reich's minimalist masterpiece was, of course, just a form of inspiration or a starting point. This was an entirely new series of work featuring music, archival footage, and interviews with those who lived through this pivotal period of history, the partition of India, as we'll discover. This multimedia performance was divided into three parts, featuring a performance from actress with vocalist Priya Purusa Ottaumaan. The second part was the work of Jack Barnett. The third featured Sand Dunes. Both the second and third section incorporated percussionist Jivraj Singh and also featured a new work from filmmakers Ian Forsyth and Jane Pollard. Artists Ian and Jane incorporated archival footage from the BFI National Archive alongside newly shot narratives of two actors who were descended from families on each side of the partition. I spoke to Jack Barnett and Sunaya Arteshahir, aka Sand Dunes, at different times via Skype, and then joined their answers together. Jack began by telling me,
"How did I get involved with the project? You get asked to do these kind of commission works so often, and so often we say no. That statistically we have to say yes to something, and this seemed so in tune with what I was thinking about at the time. It was really perfect. I love Steve Reich's later work. It's funny because I came to his music from the late stuff like Different Trains and Three Towns, and worked my way back to the beginning. There's also the attraction of doing something that's not These New Puritans, to do something that where you aren't the authority or you aren't at the centre of it, really. It's good to disorder yourself sometimes, to this seemed like a good opportunity to do that. Yeah, and it would be nice to be back at the Barbican as well. Feel like a place we've spent quite a lot of time over the years.
So we've had these residencies where we've spent a lot of time together, actually talking about all the conceptual furniture, so to speak, and talking about how and also how meaningful it might be to use certain approaches to tie in themes like partition and to tie in the India-Pakistan story. And I think more in the philosophical and the ideation sense, it's been super collaborative. And then we've gone off on our own to kind of put those thoughts into practice, if that makes sense.
Why do you think a train journey is such a powerful and important human experience? That's obviously at the heart of the work.
In this context, the British Raj in India is highly synonymous with an Indian railway network. And this is often something that I don't think people are very aware of, but it's like something that was in our history books. One of the biggest things that the British left behind was the Indian railway network. I mean, train journeys are highly significant human movement and economy and cultural exchange. But here there is specific significance because when Pakistan was created, that is to say when India was partitioned, the train journeys were brutal and gruesome, and it all happened at a time when the largest mass migration known to human history was occurring. So there's a whole lot of stories there to tell, basically.
As the new dominions of Pakistan and India take over their own affairs, communal hatred flares up in the Punjab. Fleeing from their looted, blood-stained towns comes a new exodus, 1 million displaced persons. Independence has not yet brought them peace. Rejoicing turned quickly into horror and mourning. Throughout this vast land, Hindus and Muslims seek safety in new surroundings. Peace-loving people, theirs is the real tragedy. The fortunate few flee in army transports or in buses.
The personal approach for me was, it came through the idea of using my grandfather's story as the narrative that I wanted to utilize for this piece. And he basically moved from Karachi to Bombay. He came to India on a train in 1945. Of course, at that time, it was all India. It's his train journeys that I have referred to through the music and through this world. Usually when projects like this come along, there's always a 50-50 chance that it would appeal to your current bank of interests, or maybe it's just something incidental. And in this case, this was something that just really hit home for me. In 1945, when he did move, he was the only son and had many sisters. Had he known how drastic things would get between India and Pakistan, he wouldn't have chosen to stay on in India for work. He wouldn't have chosen to stay on in Bombay because he was very close to his family. And basically, it's a story of being displaced to a large degree. Similar to, I'm in Berlin currently, and I can also tie in a lot of relating to the whole idea of separating East and West Berlin and how families were separated. And that's quite an emotional topic for me, I guess. I think it's one of the lesser known incidents in our history, or lesser spoken about perhaps. But it was, I think it's recorded as the largest mass migration. And it was at the root of it, it was laying a lot of foundations for very unnecessary communal violence between Hindus and Muslims. And it really came to a point where if you were not Muslim, you had to exit Pakistan, and the same on the other side for a lot of regions in India. And it was violent. It was violent and had a huge impact on a lot of communities, a lot of families. It was like not the glorified India is free of the British. That's only one side of it that gets talked about. And I think often this is something that doesn't really get talked about very much. The whole project really came at the right time. I was already beginning to refer to Steve Reich's work in a personal sense as a bit of a self-study. There's a lot of his other pieces that I've also tried to draw some amount of inspiration from. And the idea is that I am using different tools that are already in my sort of sonic palette, I suppose. So different synthesizers and instruments to create a bed of music that I've composed and written out to be likened to the railway tracks or the actual network, the railway network. And the content that will be performed is derived from interview recordings of my grandmother. My grandfather is no more, but my grandmother was actually, we interviewed her and got her to tell his story. And I've chopped up samples of her voice and going to be using all those components basically to kind of sonically portray a train journey with my grandfather as the protagonist, if that makes any sense at all.
I thought it was important to, before I went into the project, have some idea or carve out some little space for myself to occupy and have sort of money in the bank in terms of knowing I was going to do something that would be fun, for want of a better word. If the process is fun, then you're kind of halfway there, really. And the idea I had when I was thinking about it was to record a train, a steam train that would have been running in India at that time, and have it unedited, starting up, running for 6 or 7 minutes, then eventually making all the sounds that a train would make on a journey like that, and then eventually coming to a stop. And then to take the recording and write a drum part, a drum kit part, to the train. So effectively have the drummer duetting with a train. So that's the basis around which the rest of the music is built. And we're going to have Jivaraj Singh, who's a great Indian drummer, playing on it. And then there's the whole practicalities of how do you record something which is essentially a furnace on wheels, you know. How do you attach microphones to something that would melt any normal microphone stand? So there's all that kind of thing, and how you deal with all that. It's funny how you find yourself knowing a lot about train crankshafts, and it becomes almost more like working on a film production.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Something, you know, there's these other elements involved which dictate the music.
I am performing with Jivaraj Singh. He's a drummer and producer and musician from Calcutta in India. And we have done a lot of work together in the past, but I usually perform as a solo artist. And here we are performing as a duo, and I'm sort of looking at it like splitting responsibilities of context and content. So kind of likening my role to the railway line and like likening his role to the actual railway carrier, if I can.
Everything else that isn't the train and isn't the drama comes from the voices of people who live through these events. So taking their words from an interview that was conducted by Anchal Malhotra in Bombay, taking their words and manipulating them to produce all of the harmonic material for the piece of music.
Filmmakers Ian Forsyth and Jane Pollard created a 40-minute film which appeared alongside sections of Jack and Sunaya's performance, built around the ideas of shifting perceptions of history, memory and truth. In a previous interview, they told me this about the ideas of collaboration and the conversation between them as artists.
For us, collaboration is just such an important thing because it's such a central part of what we do together. I mean, we've worked together since we met at art school. So, you know, literally we know nothing else. It's the only thing we know how to do. And, you know, that's been 20 something years now. So collaboration forces you to externalize. You know, you have to talk, otherwise you're not collaborating.
For us, it rests on a couple of things. One is on the ability to enjoy what you're doing, that it's not that thing in which you disappear into yourself. It's the thing that you can, it takes over your life. It makes, you know, makes having a relationship and a normal life quite hard. But more than that, I love the egging on. That there's something about when you get to work with another person that you can kind of dare each other into things, and it makes you bolder and braver and ambitious and competitive and all of the things that I think it's hard to kind of self-generate as an individual become kind of quite natural, I think, as a collaboration.
I think their role has been really significant in gluing the whole body of work together. I mean, just to say that everybody is operating from such a different place, that it's given, I think it's created a lot of space to have an interpretation visually that is open. It's a big topic, I think, in general, the subject of partition and Indian independence. It can be quite heavy. And I think they are trying to build something that is thought-provoking and at the same time not spoon-feeding, if that makes sense. Also, I've given them like a very clear step-by-step or blow-by-blow a visual version of what the spoken word that I'm using. So all the bits that my grandmother says, they may not be easily understood when they're being performed. It'll obviously sound like vocals, but the idea is that you may or may not be able to tie the dots together depending on how keenly someone is listening. I mean, there's so many layers to it, you know. There's an angle that you're trying to serve the purpose of a theme and serve the purpose of music above all, without kind of putting yourself in the picture and getting the ego intertwined in the piece. And that's an interesting challenge. And then there's also the angle of vulnerability and, I suppose, being all right with exposing these sections of your world that are meaningful to you and may not necessarily be meaningful to anybody else. Like, it's definitely been a significant process for me, this project, because I haven't in the past, well, for one, I haven't played, performed in Liverpool before. I haven't played at the Barbican before. It's a new context for sure. It's a whole bunch of collaborators whom I have not worked with in the past. On a more process-oriented level, it's the first time that I feel like, wow, this is really aligned with where I am, and I'm also kind of just putting it out there. So it's a little bit of putting fear aside for me personally, which, yeah, it actually feels really good.
What do you hope that the audience will take away from the performance? It's obviously a complex issue.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess on a very... it's super complex, and I don't think it would be right to have an expectation of conveying one one or any side of a story, I'm expecting to change minds or opinions. But I think if the music can serve the purpose of igniting some kind of thought that's brought about by emotional stirring, and in whatever way that means for each individual who's accessing the performance, I think that would mean that it's served its purpose. It's going to be palpable what the context is. My performance might be referring to trains and translating that sonically. Jack, who's performing after that, is using a lot of actual archived audio from interviews of people on the trains. He's using sounds of an actual steam engine that he got high fidelity recordings of a steam engine. And Darren is also using a lot of sonic input that is very relevant to India. And I think the whole, like, it won't be easy to miss what the theme is here through all three movements.
What's very striking about it is in India and Pakistan, these events are, they're not entirely history. People are still living with the consequences. And they're still live events. They're still affecting people's lives. Obviously, you can't go in a state of complete ignorance. You kind of owe it to the subject to learn something. At the same time, I don't really feel the need to have drawn any conclusions about the parties involved. You know, they are talking about the events that happened to them. They're talking about what happened to them, people's experiences, people's pain, people's hopes. That's all I want. I don't want to extend beyond that at all. That's enough, really.
Yeah, maybe like what the... It's a trite phrase, but it's like the futility of violence and the futility of separation or war or displacement or all of those things that are futile and almost synonymous with war even. I think that would be the music serving a pretty noble purpose.
The concert, as I experienced, was crammed full of ideas, an ambitious journey which arrived successfully at its destination, a relevant and very powerful work. I'm Ben Eshmade. Thanks for listening to this archive edition of the podcast. Subscribe to Nothing Concrete on Acast, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. And if you can, leave us a review to help us get the word out.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.